Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, so happy Lunar New Year to those that celebrate and to those that celebrated it this past weekend. So we just wanted to quickly mention that our hearts and thoughts go out to all of the victims and the people affected in this past weekend shooting in Monterey Park. Monterey Park is a city in the San Gabriel Valley that all of us here on this podcast know very well. As folks grew up in the city of Arcadia, just 15 minutes away, we often went to Monterey Park to hang out, get good Asian food, drink good boba. So to hear of such an unfortunate tragedy literally hit so close to home this past weekend was devastating. So we just wanted to send our condolences and best wishes to the Monterey Park community, our friends and family in the surrounding area who were affected by this tragedy, and the greater San Gabriel Valley Asian community as well. If you would like to donate financially to aid the Monterey Park Lunar New Year victims, there is a fund being set up by a bunch of different Asian American organizations, including Asian Americans Advancing Justice SoCal, Stop AAPI Hate, and a bunch of other Asian American organizations. So if you would like to donate to that GoFundMe, please check out gofund.me/F804BB72, and you can donate to this collective fundraiser hosted by a bunch of these different Asian American organizations. So yeah, we just wanted to put that out there. Again, thoughts, prayers, and condolences to all the victims in the Monterey Park shooting. Everyone, please stay safe and be kind to those around you. But yeah, with that said, now on with the showtime. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where yabai, insane, yatta, we did it, ikimashou, let's go. Because the Lakers have just reloaded, nay, reloaded, in the most pleasantly surprising and shrewdest of ways. So, Okaidi, and welcome to your new home, Mr. Rui Hachimura, your newest Los Angeles Laker from Toyama, Japan. Konbanwa, I am your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and I am joined by the triumphant return of my co-host, Alan Riley. Alan, yoroshiku onegaishimasu. What a way to return to the podcast with the Lakers winning two improbable games over the weekend versus the Grizzlies and the Blazers, and then being rewarded at the tail end of that with Rui Hachimura. Alan, how are you feeling? And welcome back to the show.
Thanks, dude. I'm feeling great. I just drove past the little plug here, Terasaki Budokan in Little Tokyo. Maybe Rui Hachimura is going to make an appearance there someday. How fitting would that be? So,
yes.
I feel freaking good. We were just chatting a little bit before we got this thing started, and I was like, this is like the boost that we needed desperately for what feels like, you know, 5 years now. We absolutely needed this lift. So I'm stoked. I'm super excited, and set, you know, the obvious bias aside, you know, being Japanese, me being Japanese American, being super excited for this. We'll get into it, but from a basketball point of view, this makes way too much sense. So yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, too much sense. And Alan, around this time last year, almost to the date, We were talking about this same Mr. Rui Louis.
I think he called himself, he changed his Twitter name, Mr. Rui Louis Hachimura. I don't know why, where that comes from. I guess maybe it's a new Hollywood thing he's trying out. But we were talking about this same Mr. Rui Louis Hachimura as a potential Galaxy Brain trade candidate for the Lakers in any THT outgoing trade last January. I am proud to say, though it did not involve THT, that, Alan, I feel like we spoke this into existence when we talked about Rui last season. And back then we were thinking, you know, there's no way this is going to happen, but just putting this out into the universe. And now here he is in the purple and gold, a place that he called home back when he was in Gonzaga and he played at Staples Center at the time. Did you read that or did you see that tweet? That's super awesome.
I did hear about that. Yeah. So he like manifested it and spoke it into existence a few years ago as well.
Yeah, and then we double manifested it, and now here we are. So quick question before we dive deeper into what Rui means for this basketball team, what it means off the court with all of our JA connections and whatnot, but what was your initial reaction when you heard the news, and how did you hear the news? I'm guessing you were at work in Little Tokyo when that happened.
So actually, and maybe there's like some poeticness to this. It was super windy in LA over the weekend. So our power was out in our building Monday morning down in Little Tokyo. So I was kind of in limbo, not knowing if I was going to work remotely or not. So I was like, I was kind of working from home, waiting to see if I should come in. And then around like 10 a.m., you know, news dropped, got flooded with text messages and whatnot. And then don't tell my boss, wasn't really working remotely anymore. Power came on around noon, so it gave me a couple hours to just kind of like, you know, dick around a little bit and get super excited. So the power outage could not have come at a better time for me to be distracted.
Very nice. Yeah, for me, I actually had a very late start to my day and morning. So I literally woke up to the news at around like 10 a.m. It was the very first thing I saw pop up onto my phone as I woke up. And this is the most pleasantly surprised I've been with a Lakers acquisition in a while. Because, you know, the Pat Bev and the Russell Westbrook deals were more like, when they came up, I was like, they were more head scratchers into downright disappointed concern from me. I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. Whereas when I saw the Rui news, I was like, that is exactly what we've been waiting for. You know, that's what I've been clamoring for when we've been talking about trying to find a fringe margin sort of trade for a flyer in a young prospect that you may have the chance to build with. And frankly, I see this as Rob Pelinka making it up to us specifically, Alan, for passing on Yuta Watanabe this offseason, who they could have had for free. So yes, I was very excited, giggling on my phone Monday morning, trying not to wake my girlfriend up right next to me. And I spent an hour on my phone in bed, perusing through the Twitter timeline, perusing through Rui Hachimura videos, and just honestly getting lit about the whole acquisition. It's been a while since we've said lit. And, you know, me and my girlfriend had Din Tai Fung to celebrate that night. Happy Lunar New Year to everyone. It's not because of Rui Hachimura, but, you know, we'll just couple everything together in that sense. With that said, what are your thoughts on the trade in general, Alan, and from like an asset valuation standpoint? Because so the Lakers traded Kendrick Nunn and 3 seconds. One of those seconds is their own in 2029. And then two of those seconds are actually from the Russell Westbrook trade, the seconds that we got from Washington. So that would be the 2023 second from Chicago and the 2028 second that we got from Washington. That'll either be owed to Orlando or Washington. Regardless, 2028, either our second round pick or Orlando's second round pick will go to Washington, the lesser of the two. We won't have any second round picks in 2028. Sorry if that's confusing. Essentially, LA is giving the Wizards back the 2 seconds they gifted us in the Russ trade, plus our own 2029 second and Kendrick Nunn. What are your thoughts in that swapping in general for an expiring Rui Hachimura, who the Lakers will have qualifying offer restricted free agency rights on this upcoming summer? They've already stated that they intend to re-sign him, which is great news. Although, obviously, if someone big happens to emerge on the market, they can just renounce him and let him walk. But for now, it sounds like they are pretty committed to maybe having this guy be part of their core moving forward, which is very exciting to hear about. I think on the outset, obviously, Rui just gives us more additional functional and practical size that we so desperately need every time this team gets out-rebounded on the boards and on the glass. But well, yeah, what are your thoughts on swapping Kendrick Nunn these 3 seconds for Rui Hachimura? And did you think something like this would have been possible?
I did not think something like this would have been possible. I'm glad that Kendrick Nunn, you know, got healthy and has had a handful of decent games. Not that Washington's going anywhere, you know. But if Kendrick Nunn's not playing at all, you know, we're not going to be able to trade him. So considering the fact that he missed all of last year, I'm glad that we were able to, you know, make some good out of that. And then, yeah, I mean, just the fact that now we have one less guard, like a small guard, and we've added a 6'8", 230-pound athlete who can shoot. And, you know, we'll talk about the basketball stuff too, but this is like so much better than you could have hoped for, you know? If you were to just ask somebody, like, what do the Lakers need right now, just, like, describe them from a physical standpoint and in their game, like, I think you'd pretty much be describing Rui Hachimura. So, yeah, I was shocked that we got him. And then as far as swapping, you know, those 3 picks, I mean, yeah, whatever. It's funny that, like, I don't freaking care. We've been talking about how, like, this is, we need to be valuing this time. Obviously, it's like, this is LeBron's window and he's about to break the scoring record. People aren't really talking about that much because the Lakers have been pretty much irrelevant, even though they're only like 2 games out of a playoff spot or whatever. But it's like, yeah, it just feels like we're wasting a lot of time. And you and I even met up, you know, last week in person, and I was telling you how it's not that I'm apathetic. Like, I'm watching every game. I'm invested and all that stuff, but I'm not like being very critical. I haven't been critical recently because I'm like, well, it is what it is, you know. If they're not going to, and by they I mean the front office, like, look like they're making moves, then why should I get super worked up over it? So now this kind of flips things. I'm like, oh, this team is interesting again. And now I'm going to be much more emotionally, going to have more highs and lows, I think, because of it. And the other thing that you mentioned, you know, is that we could re-sign him. You know, he could be a part of our future going forward, which is another topic we've discussed a lot, is like, okay, we're not really building towards anything. It's all these one-year deals. While this team is way more interesting and fun and like likable than last year's team, like, they're not going to be around for long. So why even get attached to it? That's another reason why it's hard to even be emotionally attached to this current roster. But yeah, if Rui's going to be like a part of our future, then naturally there's going to be some more attachment to it.
Yeah, no, regardless of what happens with our ceiling this season, right? It's like, win or lose, if we make the playoffs, if we go far, it's like we have something to analyze and look forward to that potentially could carry into next season. And I think that was kind of all we were looking for, to stop this cycle of constant rotating in and out renegade players who it doesn't matter if they pop, you know, because can you even retain them past this season? So I totally agree with you. I think we traded a small guard in Kendrick Nunn, who was struggling to find his place in the rotation. Luckily for him, he finally turned a corner in these past few weeks and was finally producing, but he kind of was only producing because we had several other more productive and mainstay rotation guards in Reeves and Lonnie out, right? So what's going to happen when those guys come back? So to address our severe guard glut by upgrading in size with a tweener forward who's a legit 6'8 with a 7'2 wingspan, he's stocky, he's athletic, he's got a silky smooth mid-range game. I mean, it's a no-brainer. He's a former 2019 lotto pick, the number ninth pick of the draft, right as he's about to roll off of his rookie scale deal and he becomes a restricted free agent. This is the best type of flyer to take because Rui also has actually shown more than flashes. You know, he's been a starter in this league. He's averaged like 13.6 rebounds. He had a 40
4% three-point shooting percentage last year on low volume, but he hit 1.3 a game. So there are actually tangible things you can hold on to with regards to Rui Hachimura's game that goes past just, oh, he's shown some flashes. So for me, when it comes to the front office, you know, we've hammered Rob enough on this podcast. Kudos to him. The front office finally did something, and it's actually an objectively smart flyer move with substance. Minimal value went out. These are second round picks that we can honestly buy during the draft. And this is the first trade I feel like, maybe even including the Anthony Davis trade, context considered, where Rob has hands down objectively won. Like, I'm not sure what we're losing here. You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Apparently, Kendrick, nothing.
Nice.
So, I mean, we will give Rob his due. He's finally listening to the podcast for our ideas. Ideas we've been talking about for months. Rob, the Lakers Legacy podcast is free anywhere you listen to podcasts. Yuta Watanabe offseason coming next, please. But yeah, I think that what surprised me too, Alan, is that he chose Rui Hachimura over the obvious clutch client in Cam Reddish. And I think it was the right move because, yes, while Cam Reddish is the more legit wing player, and while he has shown better flashes of shooting from the perimeter and defense, I think overall Rui has been more consistent in flashing more on paper and on the court from a production standpoint. And even as it pertains to while Rui Hachimura's acquisition may likely cement Russell Westbrook staying as a Laker, I think I'm finally at peace with it because, like you mentioned, I can balance out any bad annoyance juju from Russ this season and maybe even coming seasons with the fact that Rui Hachimura is a legit young piece that I can sort of hone all of my positive energy into, you know, and this is a guy we can build around and groom. He's only 24 years old. Regardless of what happens this season, it won't be a waste unless we renounce Rui Hachimura and go for a big name star. But it won't be a waste because we can develop Rui now and we can invest in him as part of the future. So so between Cam Reddish and Rui, did you have, I know you have a preference because of all of the obvious subjective reasons why, but like, on paper, what do you think about going with Rui instead of a Cam Reddish?
Yeah, I know the first thing I looked up, because I figured, you know, Hachimura isn't represented by Clutch. Like, we would definitely know if he were. But it was one of the first things I did. I was like, who is his, like, agency? You know, where does he belong to? And, you know, we've heard things about various agents not wanting to deal with Rob for this and that reason. So I was curious, and it was like Wasserman and something. I don't know the firm, but yeah, I was like, okay, that's where, you know, he's coming from, and there's no drama there. And it's kind of like a side note, but like the fact that that's one of my first thoughts with the transaction is, who is his agent?
Yep.
I feel like there's something kind of gross about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's really unfortunate that that is such a huge variable. And of course, like, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you or I really don't know, but what we, you know, have seen a clear pattern of is this whole Clutch thing. So yeah, it was refreshing to like not get a Clutch guy. Nothing against some of the other good Clutch guys, but in terms of him compared to Cam Reddish, had we gotten Cam Reddish, I agree with you. Like, his have been more like, his track record has consisted of flashes, which are like sporadic things, right? Whereas Rui is like
steady.
Yeah, it's like stable flashes, just like a nice beam.
Yeah, like exact low. Consistent beam. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It isn't like so hot and cold. And you can't really look at his stats this year. Like, someone, one of our friends, I won't say who it was, texted me, was like, yeah, he's only averaging like 13.5 though. And I'm like, okay, but like Kyle Kuzma's emergence and all that's kind of pushed him out. Come back from injury. He hasn't really gotten the opportunity to show what he can do. So you have to look at like the big picture in terms of what he has done.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that, you know, you're getting a guy who came out of Gonzaga. We know that Gonzaga players, when they hit right, are really fundamentally sound. They have a good reputation and things like that. You know, he went deep in the tournament a few times, of course, and that's when I started to become infatuated with the dude. So yeah, I definitely think that I prefer this even beyond the fact that he's Japanese. I prefer Hachimura over Reddish.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with what Rob said when he had his intro presser with Rui before tonight's game. We're recording this before the Clippers game. But this is a great chance for Rob and the organization and Phil Handy and Darvin Ham to be ahead of the curve for once. You know what I mean? We're getting him like a half season earlier. We can integrate him now, see what the future holds this summer. But it's just a shrewd and smart move overall, outside of all of the ancillary reasons of why to do this deal with regards to, I mean, you gain the whole country of Japan. If they weren't already Lakers and Kobe Bryant fans, they definitely are now, you know, the jersey sales, et cetera, et cetera. But with that said, let's take it to break. And when we return, let's talk about just Rui Hachimura's fit on this Lakers team and what we like about his game, what we've seen, and what we think could translate positively for this team. So we will catch you guys after the turn.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in. We know you guys are lit about the new Rui Hachimura acquisition. We are too. Please join us in our litness by thumb tapping away on your Apple Podcast app or your Spotify app. Find the Lakers Legacy Podcast. Give us 5 stars on either of those apps. Spotify is probably the easiest app that you can do this with. All you have to do is look us up on Spotify. Check out that 5-star dial at the top of our Lakers Legacy Podcast page and hit the 5-star button. We would greatly appreciate it. All right, with that said, ikimasho. Let's get on with the rest of the show. All right, so we are back. I have some quick Rui Hachimura stats for you. So according to Kirk Goldsberry on Twitter, Rui Hachimura has made 85 of 206 catch-and-shoot threes over his last 2 seasons. That is a 41.3% catch-and-shoot three percentage. For reference, no Lakers this year have made 40% of their catch-and-shoot threes this season. So Rui Hachimura in the last 2 years, 41.3% on catch-and-shoot threes. Granted, Rui is shooting at a lower volume from three-point land, but I think what you can glean from those stats are he's clearly showing some rising potential in the three-point shooting department, especially when you imagine him getting passes from LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's going to be catch and shoot. Last year, in 42 games, Rui shot a blistering 44.7% from three, hitting 1.3 a game, which is a really solid sample size, actually. This year, through 30 games, he's only hitting 33.7% from three, but he is still hitting one a game. And I think he has had a bit of a banged-up season this year, missing a couple weeks during November. So he's still rounding into form, right? Now, mid-range-wise, which is Rui's bread and butter, from 10 and 16 feet out, Rui is shooting 53%, 31 of 58 this season. From 16 feet out to the three-point line, he is shooting 46%, 23 of 50. So clearly, he is a mid-range maven. He is a mid-range maestro. Rui's best games this season include a 30-point game versus Orlando last weekend where he hit 3 of 5 from 3.
Sincerely yes. Signed Allen's fantasy basketball team. Insincerely, Jonathan's fantasy basketball team, who I beat.
Yes, I played Allen in fantasy basketball last week, and I had to bear the brunt of a 30-point Rui Hachimura Saturday night. And then the next night, I had to witness Thomas Bryant go 4-of-4 from 3 for like 32 points, and I inevitably lost 4-5 to Allen Riley's fantasy basketball team.
My trash-ass ninth-place team with an injured Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns.
Exactly, but Rui Hachimura, Thomas Bryant killed me last week, and now they're both Lakers, so you guys can thank me for that. So yeah, Rui's best games this season include that 30-point game versus Orlando where he hit 3 of 5 from 3, another 30-point game versus Phoenix in December where he hit 11 of 13 from the field. He only missed two shots. And then a 26-point game versus Milwaukee, where he hit 11 of 18 from the field and another 3 of 5 from 3. So those are his best games in this short season through 30 games. Now, before we get into the basketball of it all and his game, Alan, I wanted to talk to you about Rui Hachimura from the fan perspective and the off-court Japanese/cultural ties that you hinted at the start of this episode, because L.A. is getting more international and adding a Japanese-born player in a city with the second-largest Japanese-American community in the United States outside of Hawaii. That is what Los Angeles is all about, and I love it on so many levels. As you mentioned, you're Japanese-American. Tommy's wife is Japanese-American. His new son, Miles Kenji Alexander, is Japanese-American. I grew up at a Japanese-American church. Shout out Evergreen. You now work at the Japanese American Cultural Center in Little Tokyo, and I have no doubt we'll get some Rui sightings in Little Tokyo sometime this year. Maybe he'll be at the Aratani Theater for all of the Obon Festival stuff. So, and I could definitely see a Rui/Japangelist collaboration. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it. I mean, there's just so much to love. And then as for Rui himself, him feeling more at home, him feeling closer to home, him having access to more of his people, culture, and food, him being a Laker fan growing up, he has to be beside himself. And I think we've already seen clips of him, you know, just ecstatic to be a Laker. And coming from Washington, D.C., I mean, that has to be such a huge culture shock. Granted, he did grow up in like a very small town in Japan, so maybe not that much. But it's a homecoming of sorts for Rui Hachimura. And I think just, you know, as Asian Americans, as Japanese Americans, I mean, it's just another thing to sort of rally behind that we can sort of be more invested in a positive way. So your thoughts on the off-court perspective, cultural perspective of it all?
For sure, man. I mean, I wore a bunch of like Laker-themed Japangelist gear to work today. It's like, whatever. It's not casual Friday. It's Tuesday, but I'm still going to rock this because I'm hyped about, you know, Hachimura being here. But yeah, I think that like I was at a networking event last night, right? And there's just like this mixer and a bunch of people there, Laker fans. And all we were talking about was the trade, you know? So there was just like a buzz in this bar in Little Tokyo yesterday that, you know, if we had acquired somebody else, it probably wasn't going to be like that. So you could already kind of feel like us Laker fans are already united, but you know, my Japanese American brothers and sisters were like super pumped up yesterday. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the opportunities, you know, for him to just learn about this community. I don't know how much like he knows about Little Tokyo in Los Angeles. There's only 3 like Japan towns left in the entire United States, right? There used to be like 30 something pre-war, and there's only 3 now. So it's a dwindling population. And the fact that it's like 10 minutes away from Crypto.com Arena, I really hope some of the small businesses, you know, reach out to him, let him know that he needs to come roll through. And yeah, we can definitely make him feel at home, like you said. So super exciting. Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, Alan and I pounded New Year mochi at the top of the year, and I feel like us pounding that mochi at that Japanese American event, Alan, we made this.
We pounded for a prosperous new year. And this is what it yielded.
Yeah, we made Rui happen right there. Granted, I was pounding that mochi with the thought of Rob Pelinka's face being right there. But you know what? It all matches up in the end somehow. Thank you, Rob Pelinka. Thank you, Rui Hachimura. Okay, on to the basketball side of things, Alan. On the court, what do you think Rui provides this team? And when it comes to the tape that you've seen of him, what intrigues you about his game?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you talked about his shooting, obviously, and the types of looks that he's going to get with LeBron, with Anthony Davis. In Washington, I mean, that team, it's so hard to even like tell who's playing or whatever, but he's like more of a top-ish option for them offensively, right? Like pretty much Brad Beal, Kuz, and then like Hachimura, they're going to rely on him to score in Washington because they don't have a ton of depth.
Porzingis is there, but off the bench, he's their main bench guy. You know what I mean?
So. Good call. Yeah, exactly. I clearly follow the Wizards like really, really closely. But here, I mean, you're just a support dude, like straight up. You know, we're not like depending on you to do a ton, and that can really put him at ease in kind of a natural position. Like you mentioned, catch and shoot. I mean, that's perfect. He can create for himself off the dribble, you know, which is really great to have, but we're not going to necessarily need him to do that. So yeah, it's going to provide us a huge boost, whether that's coming off the bench. I don't know if there's a world in which he starts. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do, I guess, with like, are we going to continue to start Pat Bev and Dennis Schroeder, you know, and then have Lonnie Walker at three, et cetera, or do you then shift some things around a little bit? But it gives you those options and that versatility. And then defensively, you know, like we said, he's 230 pounds. He's got a long wingspan. He's very strong. He may not be like the most fleet of foot when it comes to, you know, being able to switch onto like smaller guards and things like that. But just in terms of having somebody else who can guard another really strong, you know, dominant wing. So you don't have to rely on LeBron to do it all the time. You can have some switchability between LeBron, AD, and Hachimura. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do on the defensive end. Too bad he's not playing tonight against the Clippers. It's a little bit too soon, but it would have been fun, you know, to see him guard Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and that type of thing. But we do have Boston coming up on Saturday. So that's going to be really fun, especially if AD is back as well.
Yeah, and he also has that Washington Wizards synergy with Russell Westbrook,
Troy Brown Jr.,
Thomas Bryant, Thomas, you know, Bryant. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see all those guys link up. And, you know, early reports say that the Lakers have him slated to be a starter once he gets settled in. So that would mean, I presume, he would be the four. LeBron would shift back to the three. And AD at the five, who AD might be back the next game. So this is all coming up aces for us, you know, like knock on wood, cross our fingers, prosperous new year, mochi pound, let's go. but no, Rui Hachimura, I've been watching a little bit more tape since the acquisition. And bro, this dude is a professional, all caps, professional mid-range jump shooter. He knows how to get to his spots in a very calculated and methodical manner. And, you know, coming out of the draft, there were two comps for Rui Hachimura. They were both ridiculous, but you can kind of see the flashes. One of those comps was Giannis. Ridiculous, right? And then the other comp was Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard.
But when you see how he gets to his spots in the mid-range, you see the flashes of Kawhi because he can hit that very simple one dribble pull-up J from every spot on the court, and he's not deterred even if there's a defender there. He also loves to do this like one hop step, gain some contact. He likes to do this one hop step move where he gains the contact, gives the defender a little forearm shiver, and then he'll fade back a little to hit that sweet jumper of his. At times, he kind of looks slow and plodding when he's getting to his spots, and maybe it's because he's very stocky and sturdily built, but I actually think that's a positive for him because it gives him really good balance, and he has really good body control whenever he gets into the paint, which is why whenever he goes up for that jump shot, he's always able to square himself up. You know, it's actually very impressive. Now, other times when he's out on the perimeter, and especially when he's in transition, if he has the ball in his hands, he can also look pretty fluid and sleek. It's almost like, you know, pseudo Kyle Kuzma or Tobias Harris when he's running in transition, or he's allowed to take his man off the dribble from the three-point line. So he almost has these two sides of him that kind of look very different, right? Because in the mid-range, he looks almost like a more of like a tweener power forward, like a LaMarcus Aldridge, Carlos Boozer type. But then when you see him create a little bit off the dribble, or if you see him moving around on the perimeter, you see this sort of Kyle Kuzma, Tobias Harris, like more of a wing tweener type, you know?
He's got a little bit of a boost of speed, kind of a quick first step when he, like you said, takes guys off the dribble.
No, it's kind of alarming, like unsuspecting, right? All of a sudden he'll throw down a sledgehammer dunk with his 7-foot-2 wingspan that you didn't see coming, because the rest of his pace and his game was very slow, mannered, and steady, right?
I think steady is a good word to use with Rui Hachimura.
So for me, he's very interesting because he's almost this meat and potatoes sort of tweener forward who will sometimes flash you with some sriracha sauce on that meat and potatoes randomly, you know what I mean? And I know he's not right now a prolific three-point shooting spacer, although that small sample size from last year, the 1.33 is made on 44.73, shows you great progress. But again, him being able to space out on the baseline, those baseline three-point shots, is going to be key for him, and money whenever LeBron James kicks out to him. My one concern in the mid-range, though, is I hope that our spacing still looks good for him and that it's not too mucked up for him in there, for him to get to the spots he typically likes to get to fire off some clean mid-range jump shots. But regardless, I think in the half court, he should really help us out. And then obviously in transition, he'll run the floor well, use his athleticism, that synergy that he has with Russell Westbrook on those leakouts. So I'm very excited on the versatility he provides us. And then obviously just the functional length and size, right, is huge. Defensively, I think he's going to need work on the perimeter, foot speed-wise, as you mentioned. It can be a problem. He can sort of get on his back skates and get blown by pretty easily. I think rebounding-wise, too, I think he can be a little bit... I think he can learn to be more of a physical presence down there than he has been. He seems a little bit soft, and my worst fear is that he might just be a slightly better Thomas Bryant on the defensive end, which isn't great, obviously. But I think... Well, one, the big difference is Thomas Bryant has had an ACL injury, and, you know, Rui Hachimura hasn't had an injury that significant yet, knock on wood. And so I think he still has most of his legs and athleticism that should help him hone in more on the defensive end. And while I don't think he's a 3-and-D wing type stopper in terms of... I don't think he'll be able to hang with the more slithery ball-handling wings of the league, like the Jason Tatums and Jaylen Browns of the world, for example. But I think if he's patrolling the paint more as a power forward, and if he's put in a position where he can use his strong physique to be a deterrent, I think that's where he can excel. So, for example, if he's guarding a Giannis post-up or even a Kawhi post-up and he can feel that contact from the other player, I think then he can leverage his size and his length to actually be solid in stopping or being a deterrent to that wing or tweener forward. You know what I mean? So... it's out in space and on the perimeter where I think he has problems, because all of a sudden he has to scramble and contain guards or more fluid wings. I don't think that's necessarily his calling, although on this roster he can certainly pinch hit because of our dearth in size in that department in general. But yeah, I think if we can have him patrolling the paint a little bit more with AD, I think he'll find more success. But before we end this podcast, Alan, I do have a Rui Hachimura aspirational comp to throw out your way. So before I give my comp, do you have any guys or archetypes that you would like to see Rui sort of find himself filling? If you can think of other guys in the league. So I know a lot of fans, for example, have been wanting PJ Washington from the Charlotte Hornets. And he would have been great because he's shown more three-point shooting acumen than Rui has. But Rui is a very nice consolation prize to PJ Washington. And I think he would do a good job of approximating that PJ Washington type role, especially if he grows more into his three-point shot. But can you think of any other players before I go that sort of you'd want to see Rui Hachimura aspire to, especially on this team?
Oof, the comp question. Oh boy. I'm like,
sorry, I put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. It's so funny though, because I'm only thinking of like Hall of Famers, you know. I'm like, like Scottie Pippen. I mean, I think everything's gonna be qualified as like poor man's version of so and so, you know. And it's gonna be like multifaceted too. Like, oh, offensively. Kind of like you said, kind of like Kawhi Leonard. Like, he is really crafty and he is strategic and very intentional about how he gets to his spots. Like, he can just get there on the floor if he needs to. Is he going to be as, you know, as efficient and automatic and all that kind of stuff as Kawhi? Like, no, probably not. But knowing that he's got that in his bag, you can see how that could be utilized, you know, in our offensive schemes. And then from, I'm not going to have too many good answers, to be completely honest with you.
Okay. So here, I'll help you out. So this is not the aspirational comp, but before my lead up to that, he's almost like, this is a strange fusion, but he's almost like Carlos Boozer trying to morph into a Markieff Morris or Kyle Kuzma. You know what I mean? He's like an in-between morph. You know, he's got 1 foot in the Carlos Boozer era and also 1 foot in the, I'm kind of becoming this new-aged tweener forward like Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma. Ideally, he becomes like a Markieff Morris for us, right? If you're looking for Lakers references of recent past, because then that means he's not only a mid-range shooter, but he can space it out to the three, and he also gets some of that, you know, Markieff Morris grit toughness defensively as well, right? And then if you're looking at his mid-range jump shot, I can see like a poorer man, shorter version of LaMarcus Aldridge with some shades of Tobias Harris as well, when he can flash some of that fluidity I was talking about. But when it comes to my aspirational comp for Rui Hachimura Allen, there is a player that Darvin Ham has familiarity working with very recently, who I think would be the perfect poster child for Rui to model as a high-end aspirational comp. Can you guess who that player is?
Giannis?
No. here it is. It's not that high-end. It's Bobby Portis. I think he's also on your fantasy team.
Oh, okay. He is on my fantasy team. I freaking love Bobby Portis.
So if Rui Hachimura can look at what Bobby Portis has done in his career and how Bobby Portis has progressed, particularly in shooting from the three-point line, from three-point land, man, that would be the perfect sort of mold for Rui to fit. And the fact that Darvin Ham just worked with Bobby Portis and saw his development as this sixth man of the year type player, I can only imagine what he's going to do and what Phil Handy is going to do with Rui Hachimura. You know, they can teach this guy to be more steadfast defensively, be as tough as Bobby Portis, learn how to shoot and get to his spots on the perimeter better, and just be that ultimate utility forward off the bench. And man, if he can even just be like 75% of what Bobby Portis has become as a shooter, as a defender, as a, like I said, versatile forward, then we've hit the jackpot. You know, we gave up 3 seconds to get this guy, and we'll be able to retain him for, I don't know, $10 to $12 million starting next season, hopefully. So, yeah, what do you think about Rui Hachimura assuming that Bobby Portis role for Darvin Ham, who just had him last year?
Yeah, I really like that. I think that if there's something that you really want him to aspire to be, like you said, someone who's really tough like Bobby Portis. And, you know, we also don't want to get some of the intangible, like, personality stuff confused with it. Like Bobby Portis, you know, he's got that enforcer kind of Charles Oakley, don't mess with this dude vibe about him. And like that, that's probably not going to be Rui Hachimura. But yeah, in terms of being that like hard nosed, kind of jack of all trades ish type of guy, like he's would be like a stat sheet filler. I think that'd be amazing. And in terms of like development that you've seen Bobby Portis experience in the last, you know, few years, like he's really come on strong. I think that could be a really good comp for sure.
Yeah.
So I cheated a little bit and I just started looking up Rui Hachimura comps. Actually this one did pop into my head, but I didn't say it. And I feel like we've compared other players to this guy as well. And we would get like kind of excited. So we talked about being crafty. We talked about getting to your spots. We talked about being creative. it might not be as awkward as this player, but Antoine Jameson kind of had that game in him, right, where he could get to the rim and he'd have these like kind of weird flip shots and what the hell, like, how do you get that one up? I'm not saying that Rui Hachimura's like style would be like that, but just in terms of effectiveness and also like size, I think that's like the biggest component here. I think that that could be maybe more of a stretch, not in the sense of like stretch the floor, but like not so much. But that did pop into my head briefly, and then that was verified via Google. So I'll throw that one out there as well.
I think in terms of like what he is expected to do in the role, in terms of being that scoring punch at the forward position, I think he definitely fits the Anton Jameson mold. He's probably more of like the bulkier, sturdy enforcer type than Jameson was. But if he can get to that point of shooting the three-point shot just like Anton Jameson and Bobby Portis, I mean, again, you're getting to this level of a tweener big who can space the floor but also help you out defensively, help you out on the boards, all in the same realm of like the PJ Washingtons, Markieff Morris's, Bobby Portis's of the world, right? And so as we mentioned with Bobby Portis, it took him a while to get to this level. And so under the right hands, in the right circumstance and opportunity, learning from Hall of Famers like LeBron James and, you know, Anthony Davis, and, you know, even Russell Westbrook was huge in his development in Washington. I think he's in the perfect spot to bloom. And it's crazy that we're going to get to see this Rui Hachimura in a purple and gold uniform, and hopefully more years to come, you know, hopefully some Japanese American nights at crypto.com arena. Let's go, Lakers. Let's do this.
Lakers, let's get some cultural nights. Yeah. Like they the Clippers do them like for everybody, which is awesome. But you're not going to catch me repping any like Japanese heritage Clipper gear ever. Likewise, I don't think you would, you know, do the same for yourself.
Exactly. So let's get it rolling. Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers
this, you know, coming soon. Yuta Watanabe, come on over as well. Let's do this, guys.
All right. With that said, Alan, thank you for hopping on. I'm sure we'll do a more
formal podcast later. Maybe
Hoppa on. There you go. I like the pun because Alan is Hoppa half. What does Hoppa stand for? Half Asian, half American. Is that?
Like many, many definitions of it.
But what is it an acronym though?
It's not an acronym. It has its roots in like Hawaii.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, and there's like even like controversy surrounding it as a phrase and debate as to whether people should call themselves Hapa or not. But I just did, so you know, sorry.
Regardless, you guys are learning so much on this podcast. You're learning so much Japanese, and you're gonna learn more Japanese as the season progresses with Rui Hachimura. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us. We'll have Alan on for more formal podcast coming up, maybe post trade deadline, and we'll talk about Rui Hachimura on the floor as a Laker and what he's doing by that time as well. So stay tuned. We'll also have a instant reaction podcast from new father Tommy Alexander upcoming this week as well. We'll have to split this up because everybody's schedules are busy, but we're so excited to talk about Rui. So stay tuned for that as well. With that said, Alan, thanks for hopping on, and I will catch you later. The next time we talk, we have some Rui Hachimura Lakers highlights to dissect.
Ikimasho, let's go.
Ikimasho. All right, I'll catch you later, dude.
All right, arigatou gozaimashita.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.